Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel here celebrating the world of non-league. Another instalment of passion, glory, and just heartfelt love for fellow man. There's more FA Cup chat as we speak with two managers in the second round draw this week. One still faces a replay, but both are enjoying their journey in this season's competition. Plus, a heartwarming tale of how disaster for one non-league club has seen the rest of the non-league community rallying round to help. All that and more, so let's get things underway. So, earlier on in the season, we spoke to a new manager in the role. Jamie Vermiglio is Chorley FC's manager, former player, and seemed to be enjoying it. They were on a great unbeaten start to the new season in National League North, and that season's just continued. Last week's FA Cup exploits, a fantastic 2-2 home draw against Doncaster Rovers. Jamie joins us on the line. Have you managed to recover from that game yet?
I think you've got to, haven't you? I think there's a lot going on. The league being our priority. Kidderminster away on Saturday, so you have got to. I suppose it was probably more difficult with this game because there was a lot of publicity around it. It being the FA Cup first round. All the fans were behind us. The town was behind us. So, you do think about those games a little bit more inevitably. And the next day, you're looking at the press, what's going on? It was on television. So I suppose it takes a little bit longer to get over that. The overwhelming feeling is a feeling of pride that the lads have done fantastically. But I can't help just feeling a little bit disappointed that we couldn't have just held on. And we went down to 10 men in that game. So a little bit of disappointment. But we were in the hat on Monday. And that's exciting as well for the people of Chorley.
Yeah, you say that the people are truly free capacity, 3,000 people at Victory Park. And for those that didn't manage to watch it on TV, it was a gripping match. And you were so close to getting that fantastic cup set as well.
Yeah, I thought we more than matched Doncaster. I mean, they obviously did their work on us and did a lot of preparation around how they play against us. And, they're a better football inside than us. They're a better team. They've played. They've got players playing at a good level. But on that day, we just raised the game, raised the bar. And at times, they did struggle to contain us. We put quite a lot of pressure on them. And we were fortunate to get goals at decent times, really. So they were fighting against it. They were fighting to try and get back in the game. And as I say, unfortunately, we were unable to hold on. But we certainly gave them a good game. And now going into the replay, which is next week, I'm sure they will. Fear is a big word, but they'll certainly be a little bit more cautious about us, and know that the players will certainly know that they'll be in a game next week.
Yeah, how do you go about that replay? Do you do any additional scouting on Doncaster now, or you know the way they're going to set up? Probably maybe slightly more defensive than they did in the opening game. And so do you just go into that with that mindset that you've matched them before, you can get a result this time?
A little bit, yeah, definitely. We know what the vast majority of the team will remain the same. If they played again last night and made a couple of changes. But, the way that they play, the style, the lads will know the style of the play. They're a very good, quick football inside. They want to get it from one half of the pitch to the half of the pitch quite quickly. But having said that, we'll still watch the game. We'll watch a few more of the highlights, because at home they're a different kettle of fish, I think. They were on our pitch, which our pitch is fantastic, I feel, but their pitch is going to be at another level. Our fans were, all the barriers that they've had against them are going to be removed now. They're going to be able to play a little bit more freely at home, I imagine. So we need to just think about how we're going to adapt our play a little bit to try and contain them, but also give us the best opportunity of scoring.
And you mentioned that draw as well on Monday. Mansfield Town or Charlton in the replay. Do you even have an opportunity to think about that, the way the games are coming thick and fast?
No, I don't. It is difficult to stop and think. You know, obviously, if you're charting, I've got to get to a tricky tie of their own to even cement their place in the next round. So, but having said that, you know, you've got, when you do look at it, it's what an incentive it is for the lads, because, you know, the odds are against us and the odds are for Charlton. So if we are to get through, it's very likely we'll be playing against Charlton, or more likely we'll be playing against Charlton. So that can certainly motivate the players, I think, and especially with it being away as well. I mean, you want a home draw, but, you know, to go and travel and play against a team that were not so long in the Premier League would be an amazing experience for everyone.
Yeah, and you can hear the excitement in your voice. It's the FA Cup. Of course you're excited. But as you mentioned, priority this year is the league. And you're straight back in it with that game against Kidderminster Harriers at the weekend.
Yeah. The first pre-season session, we didn't say, come on, lads, we're going to win the FA Cup this year. We said, we're going to go for promotion this year. We're going to give it a good go. And the lads have certainly put themselves in a strong position. You know, our form over the last five or six games in the league hasn't been great, you know, but we've been close. We've just missed out on by a goal here and there, or an unfortunate decision here and there, that we just need to get back on track, but get focused on the league. And we start with Kidderminster away, who started fantastically themselves, but again, similar to us, they've probably hit a little bit of a rough patch.
And you've dropped off the top of the table because you're FA Cup experts at Bradford Park Avenue just above you, but only 1 point ahead. You've got the two games in hand. Do you now look at the size of your squad and maybe think, maybe I need to add a few more because of the number of games now we've got to fit in and the need to get consistency throughout those?
Yeah, it is. You know, we've got Saturday, Tuesday games coming up a lot. The FA Trophy gets involved now with some of those fixtures and Christmas period. You know, we're only carrying a relatively small squad of sort of 18 players. And we're always looking to improve if someone's going to come and improve us, but we're not just going to recruit just for the sake of it. So at this moment in time, I am actively looking to see who can come and help us. Now, when you do look at the teams who are up there or thereabouts, often around this time, certainly Christmas, January, the time, they look to bring another player or two, and it can just give everyone a little bit of a boost. So, you know, I am doing that at the moment, and I have done for the last few weeks, but as I say, I'm not going to change things just for the sake of it. It needs to be someone that can come in with the right character and the right attributes to push us on.
And that National North Division is such a competitive division as well, isn't it? You've got Kidderminster this Saturday, then you've got the small FA Cup replay, and then you've got Boston, who are just outside the playoffs. But you look how far outside the playoffs. There are a couple of wins, and they're up there with you.
Yeah, it's so, so tight. I mean, the first eight or nine games, we were pulling away a little bit, and we always knew it was going to pull back. There was no way that we could maintain that sort of form throughout the season. But, you know, now you look and there's teams from sort of 10th upwards who within three or four games can be there. I mean, you look at Chester, prime example. They've had a great run of form after an indifferent start, and they're right back in the mix now. So, you know, all those teams, the Yorks, the Guiseleys, and they've even, you know, they've got a chance of getting back in the mix, and they'll be telling themselves that we just need to be as consistent as we can between now and the end of the year and pick up points against some of those top sides and the bottom ones, obviously. But when we are up against your Bostons, who are close, and your Kiddies, that's where we've really got to make it count and try and just push them back a little bit and spare ourselves on.
And how is this management like compared to being a player?
Very different, very different. The highs are high and the lows are much lower. But it's enjoyable as well. You know, I'm absolutely loving every minute of it. But sometimes, like this week's been a busy week at work, where it does take its toll a little bit. You know, when you've got some late meetings or you've got parents evening and things like that, where you've got to stay in school and commit to it and you can't get to training sessions. And next week, Doncaster away. You know, we're not going to be able to leave at 5 o'clock to get there. I'm going to have to manipulate my timetable a little bit so that I can leave as soon as the kids leave. So that kind of thing, it does take its toll, I think. But when having good people around me, like Smudger, and certainly like Andy Priest, who's got a little bit more availability to step up and take a lot of responsibility, really a lot of onus, and he's been great for doing that.
Yeah, for those that don't know, you are a head teacher, and when we last spoke, you weren't concerned about the balance because you said you had great teams on either side, you know, both at school and at the club to look after. You mentioned the guys at the club there. Does that mean that you're now looking for some big presents, maybe some Black Friday deals or something to say thank you? Because I'm sure that they must be loving the exposure you're getting as well, but obviously they must be working a lot harder just to try and help you.
Yeah, I think they are. I think I'm hoping they're not expecting any presents because I'm skint at the minute. But
FA Cup run.
I think there's a that's what I'm saying to the board. There's a mutual respect. I think certainly at work and at football, and people aren't at work. People don't do it for me; they do it for the kids. And I think likewise at football, they're not just doing it for me; they're doing it for themselves. They've got an intrinsic motivation. They want to do well for themselves, for the club, for the players, and they've got a lot of pride as well. So, these people aren't around me for any money, any extrinsic motivation. These people are self motivated. They want to do best for themselves. So, I think when I've been in those sorts of positions, when you're the deputy or the assistant or coach, you want to have opportunities to step up, even as a player. Everyone thrives on a little bit more responsibility. And, that's what we do. We hand out a bit of responsibility. Matt Challoner stepped up this year to do our fitness. Teague's stepped up even more as skipper. So, with me having more commitments in different areas, it gives opportunity to others to step up. And, a bit of delegated leadership, I think, can go a long way. And certainly in what I'm doing at the moment in different places, it's certainly having a positive impact.
It certainly seems to be working. Well, Jamie, thank you for giving us some time in your very busy calendar. Wish you well on Saturday, but particularly wish you well in that replay. And hopefully we'll be speaking to you about some more FA Cup exploits soon.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
So let's speak with one of the managers who have already secured a place in the second round of the FA Cup this season. In fact, a second round tie at home to league opposition, and a tie that's been selected for live TV too. All after knocking out league opposition last weekend in the first round. Does it get much better than that, Marcus Bignot, the joint manager at Guiseley FC?
It will do if we win the second round. So obviously that will be our goal, and we've got an opportunity to achieve our own little FA Cup final in terms of reaching the third round, in which, from the very first second round qualifier, that was our aim, and hopefully we can achieve that.
Yeah, let's start with the weekend. Victory over Cambridge United, 4-3 in the end, but you certainly gave the paying public value for their money.
We certainly did, and the drama which unfolded towards the end of the game, we could have done without that, but looking back over overall, coming out on top with the result, like you said, 4-0 up, the Visa being 5. I've looked back at the highlights, and there was definitely a penalty at 4-0, which could have made it 5-0. Ford has pulled off a really good save off Will Thornton as well. And then they've got a goal from nowhere, to be honest, 4-1. It seemed like it was a consolation goal. Coming into injury time, 89 minutes on the clock, 4-1, Guiseley. You are thinking you've got through. Second goal's in. Well taken goal, to be honest, at 4-2. But even then, I still felt there wasn't enough time for a comeback. 5 minutes, the fourth official puts on. And that 92nd minute, seeing that goal go in, well, it was squeaky bum time at 4-3. And then the drama unfolded from the 89th to the 94th minute. I mean, in that period, there was a scramble in the 6-yard box, which quite easily could have gone in as well, and made it 4-4. We saw the last minute out, we saw the last minute out well, but certainly that 89th to 94th minute, it's only a few minutes, but it seemed like 20 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and the records will show that it was 4-3, but as you say, you were cruising quite comfortably there, and it was not a moment of magic, because it just almost did come from nowhere. And when you've had a game like that, and obviously normally if you nearly lost the game that you're 4-0 up on, and it comes back to 4-3, probably after a league game, you go back into the dressing room, maybe have a moan and a groan at a few people. But I guess on that day, you just go and enjoy the moment, do you?
Of course, and on reflection, you know, I do think the scoreline flattered Cambridge in the end, 4-3. It wasn't a 4-3 game. Of course, it was in terms of results, but in terms of the performance we put in. And I must make a special mention to Joe Dunn, the Cambridge manager, how graceful he was in defeat, and what class he's shown in terms of making sure he congratulated all the players from Guiseley and made sure he took time out and found his way to us, the management staff, and said some kind words after the game, which obviously would be very difficult in terms of, you know, a Football League manager being beaten by a club two leagues lower. But he showed ultimate class, and that was a touch of class. And that for me just, you know, added to the day in terms of, you know, sometimes football, you have many lows and not too many highs, but that day will long live in the memory in terms of everyone connected to the football club.
Nice to hear. And of course, your joint manager there with Russ O'Neill, formerly Alfreton Town, I think I remember him at.
Yeah.
Is it moments like beating up league opposition in the FA Cup? Is that what makes that relationship of a joint manager extra special? Because you it's probably the only time you ever have someone truly just share it with that knows what it's all about.
And obviously, yeah, you go through that emotions. They say it's very lonely on that touchline, isn't it, as a manager? But certainly we went through those emotions. And I mean, if you spoke to Russ, his emotional state at 4-1 was far different from mine. You know, and he kind of saw warning signs, whereas me, I saw the game for how it was and didn't see it. But like you said, that moment when the referee blew his whistle, I mean, you know, the local photographers have captured the moment, and, you know, me and Russ are embraced with the rest of the staff and players and substitutes alike. And like you said, it was a special day, special moment, and, you know, and long will live in the memory.
You said that you saw that first go in for Cambridge in a different way. How does your relationship work with Russ? Do you have designated jobs, or are you sort of one and the same person, and then things branch out?
Yeah, it's not, you know, it happens naturally in terms of the both of us. You know, it's not manufactured. It's very authentic, it's very real, it's very honest, our relationship. And then that's translated to the players as well. So, of course, like anybody, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and we complement each other well in those departments. And, you know, for me, part-time, you know, as a joint manager, and I think it really works in part-time football, because we've both got jobs away from Guiseley Football Club as well. But although we're in a part-time league, it's very much a full-time job. It's 24/7 as a manager. And no, it for me, there's definitely a case to be had, certainly in part-time football, where the joint management can really work, just because of the tireless workload you have. And so we can really give 100% to the football club in terms of two of us working on behalf of the football club.
Well, it certainly seems to be working anyway. So the next round, league opposition again, and the broadcasters obviously feel that you could cause another upset. BT Sport chosen you for the Monday night game.
Yes, you know, and, you know, as a club, we wanted that home draw for the supporters. A live game is a great platform and stage for our young players to go and perform and showcase their talent and put themselves in the shop window. You know, one or two done themselves no harm in terms of their performances. I mean, the group as a whole done no harm in terms of the performance they showed against Cambridge. And again, it's another opportunity. We believe we've got players who can go on and play in the Football League. And with regards to the one or two senior players, again, it's another opportunity to create those memories. And so we'll hopefully, fingers crossed, replicate the first round. And if we do, you know, we've reached our FA Cup final, and hopefully that romance of pulling one of the big six away from home.
It's nice to hear you talking about that shop window, because obviously, having got to know you over the years from coming on the show, we know that you plan so well. You plan short term, long term, medium term. So obviously, if someone comes in for one of your players, that's going to upset that plan. But you know, you're a people person, and you know what it means to play in the Football League as well.
We've certain that was we've certainly relayed that to the players in terms of this is a platform for them to go and, like we said, showcase their talent and ability. And, you know, myself and Ross, we're all about development, but at the same time, getting that balance with results and being successful and building an infrastructure and a football club. But no, we'd welcome any interest in any of our players in terms of making that move into the Football League. And no, and we're dedicated to that and we're driven by that, as well as getting that balance right in terms of getting results and being successful and building an infrastructure at the football club. And, you know, that was the remit which was needed in terms of bringing the football club together, feel good factor. And no, we seem to be going along the right lines as it stands at the moment.
And I'm thinking that possibly being the Monday night game, that probably puts you in a hat for the third round draw if it's going to be pulled prior to your kickoff. I mean, how are you going to deal with the psychology of that?
No, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't think of it like that. And now you've said that, you know, for me, my instant emotion was of excitement. You know, imagine we did get a Big Six, a Man City, a Man United, a Liverpool, a Tottenham, an Arsenal, Chelsea. What extra motivation that would be for the players. And no, I'd only think that would only, you know, find that extra yard, that extra 1% of motivation, desire and mentality to try and achieve a big upset. Look, we've got nothing to lose. We know this. We're going up against a very good football team, a club who's risen dramatically through the leagues and has got a young aspiring manager who's had a illustrious career. And, you know, for me, you know, Joey splits opinion on his character and personality. But whatever you think of him, you know, there's an intelligent student of the game there. So we're going to have to be at our very best to cause an upset. But hopefully we'll be at our very best and that will be the aim.
It's going to be a very interesting pitting of wits. And we know it's not about the money. You can sense the excitement and the experience you've already gained. And the next round's going to give you as well. But £36,000 in prize money for the last round alone and £75,000 for being on the TV in this second round. What does that mean to a club like Guiseley?
Well, normally that would be great in terms of looking, putting towards an infrastructure, putting towards a playing squad. Unfortunately, Guiseley suffered relegation last year. And as a consequence of that, there was a large liability in terms of the financial. And when myself and Russ came in, there was 44 players on the playing staff. So there was a job to be done on the financial side and obviously a liability carried over into this season. So up until now, I think we've, you know, including the second, third and fourth qualifying round, we've kind of amassed, you know, again with the live TV game, just short of 200 grand, I'd imagine. We've probably brought into the football club. That will go some way to addressing the liability in terms of what was spent on trying to survive in the National League. So there's a reality to all this and we want to, you know, the players are aware of the fairy tale and the opportunities that can bring on the pitch, but off the pitch is a more serious nature to what this will do for our football club. It will be able to get us back on our feet. We're on its knees and hopefully now we can start putting in the foundations for us to, you know, get back up on our feet, you know, and move steadily, consolidate and grow and move this club forward.
And it's nice to hear that honesty, because it's very easy to hear about the glitz and the glamour and how fantastic it is. But being involved in a football club's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, there was a lot of pain suffered, you know, the owner, the chairman, the directors in terms of the financial commitment they'd done to try and keep this football club in the National League. I mean, in the end, it was a plain budget which would have got you promoted in the end. That's how much investment was to put into that squad. And to just balance that off with a situation where I faced at Chester, where our plain budget to try and stay up was a mere £2,000 a week. It was, you know, and we still finished above Guiseley. It's ridiculous to see the lengths the football club went to financially, but never got the rewards for that on the pitch. And obviously, that's a consequence we've had to face, but we were fully aware of. But I'm really glad now for the owner and the chairman. What this FA Cup has brought to them is to help address this liability. And obviously, we've had to move players out as well, and we've done good business on that side as well. But for us, moving forward, that was key, that the financial situation of the football club was addressed.
You mentioned Chester there. We last spoke to you last season on the show, and you were really excited, enthusiastic about the opportunity at Chester, but it didn't work out. What did you learn there that you've been able to bring to Guiseley?
It's probably the managing up, managing with stakeholders, slightly different because it's a fan-owned club at Chester, so you get that, you get that revolving door, that turnaround. I mean, I had four chairmen in 6 months while there, so it's kind of a different from a normal model in football. But I went into guys with my eyes wide open this time in terms of really knowing the financial side of the football club. No one would have foreseen or predicted what would have happened at Chester with it nearly closing its doors and the money not being there. But certainly on this occasion, I needed to know the people I was going to work with in terms of at board level. Now, I didn't know them on a personal level, but I had to get to know them on a work and relationship level. I needed to have that open, honest and transparent in terms of the financial implications the football club has got itself into. So to be fair to the chairman and the board, they never kept anything from us, and they disclosed everything financially, which the club have committed and the liability it's got moving forward. So I respected that honesty, and it got the respect from me straight away in terms of where you've got that relationship.
And 6 months on, your second round of the FA Cup, money coming in, and there must be a special buzz now around the place, around the club, and sort of some new faces and old faces are coming back in, and I guess you can see all around the club some smiles on faces where maybe there weren't when you first moved in.
No, and that's what we've probably done, is we've tried to be approachable and accessible in terms of management and players with our supporters. Non-league especially, and it's different from the professional game where supporters can pretty much have that relationship with players and management in terms of after games in the bar. And we're very aware that we had to bring the club together. And what the FA Cup has done is has allowed us to bring the club together, allowed us to appreciate and respect the volunteers because, it's their club, and we understand that and we respect that. And to see their club getting all this attention and media and ultimately getting the results on the pitch, it's just great satisfaction for me, Russ, and the management staff that we are now seeing faces, smiling faces, and that real buzz around the place.
And back to the league on Saturday, and another home game, and tickets on sale as well. So hopefully that will pull in a few more than normally would be there. How do you get the lads refocused back on the job in hand for the weekend's game? Because obviously you want to pull yourself back up that league table as well.
Yeah, of course. And just prior to this run in the FA Cup, we were getting the balance right between the FA Cup and the league form in terms of our second, third, fourth qualifying rounds coincided with our league form where we only lost 1 in 14 games, I believe. So we're on good form, but we had an opportunity to make inroads into the league and get in and around the playoffs. And we missed that opportunity in the last four games. And we can't shy away, although it's great, this FA Cup run. We're now entering the FA Trophy. And again, it's a competition. Realistically, we can get to the final. I saw Brackley and many of my old players perform so well for Brackley last year in the Trophy final and win it. So it's a competition. I'd love to get to the final and win. But before that, all of a sudden, you're not playing your league games week in, week out. So it's important when we do that, we pick up those 3 points because it will be games in hand. But the league will take, the league positioning will take a false position, but you can certainly be in the bottom half and be dragged into something if you take your eyes off the ball. So we're very conscious of a as a management staff that Spennymoor is equally as important. Listen, and we're not going to be behind the fact that, yes, we have got a second round big game coming up. But that will just add as a motivation, because I'm sure all the players will want to be involved in that. So hopefully we can get an edge and see that edge on Saturday.
Well, we wish you well on Saturday, but we wish you even more luck in your FA Cup second round tie against Fleetwood. And hopefully we'll be speaking to you again very soon after that.
Thank you for having us.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time to a rather distressing story from the weekend, but one that appears to have had a happy ending and leaves a warm feeling in your chest. As the world prepared for a day of remembrance and thoughts for the unselfish actions of others over the past century, the non-league Twitter sphere went to news on Sunday of an act of sheer mindlessness. The Winslow United pitch in both goal areas was vandalised, goalposts were damaged and nets stolen for no apparent reason, causing thousands of pounds worth of damage to a ground used both by the first team and others in the community. From pain comes joy, however, as the non-league and wider football community soon rallied and got behind a crowdfunding campaign set up by the club. And I'm pleased to say Chairman of Winslow United, Andy Setterfield, joins us on the non-league show again to tell us more.
Yeah, good evening.
Well, Andy, thanks for rejoining us. Of course, we spoke to you the very first show of this new season as you prepare for your first FA Cup match in, well, I think 127 years of your history. A momentous season. I guess this somewhat sullies it. What happened?
That's a very good question. We had a very good game on Saturday afternoon at home. A good victory against one of the top sides in the league. Everyone left the club on Saturday evening in a really buoyant mood, and then Sunday morning we get woken up with the phones ringing and the messages pinging saying you better come down and have a look at the pitch. Arriving to see goalposts strewn all over the pitch, damaged, broken, and both goalmouths, both goalmouths just dug up, really. It's probably the easiest way of explaining it.
I fear now for the person that first discovered it. It's one of those sort of things. It's like when you tip a drink over on the carpet when you're at home with your mum. You've got to tell someone, but it's not the sort of news you want to break over the telephone first thing on a Sunday.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, this person was, I think it was actually just down opening the club because we were going to be, I think they were opening the club for the Remembrance Parade. Winslow had a huge Remembrance Day parade. So they got down early to open the club so that the facilities were available. We was met with goalposts not standing up.
And what were your first thoughts when you saw it? That you probably don't use the words you maybe thought about, but
Well, I think, as I've said to, talking to other media people, it was just sheer amazement, to be honest. It wasn't anger. It wasn't anything. It was just sheer amazement as to why. Why would someone do it? It was just absolute amazement, really.
I'm guessing that games have had to be postponed because you've got quite a big youth section. We spoke about that before. Your development sides, youth sides, lady sides, disabled sides.
Absolutely. I mean, we're fairly lucky in terms of a lot of the junior teams play on other pitches, but certainly we've had a couple of games had to be cancelled this week for our under 15s. We're coming up and playing their first ever game under floodlights on, it should have been on Thursday, so that was called off. We've had to obviously postpone the first team game on Saturday, and we've got probably two games next week that are looking likely that are going to have to be postponed. So it's heartbreaking, certainly for the youth, They've been looking forward for probably 2 months now to this evening and being able to play under floodlights. And obviously from the senior side, it's a loss of revenue to the club.
I'm guessing everybody at the club, you know, everything's done on a voluntary basis too. So it's not necessarily easy to put things right quickly.
It's not. No, I mean, we have been fairly lucky in terms of, again, from the footballing community. We've had, we've had a number of offers of help. We've had, everything from a ground, ground maintenance companies kindly came over and gave us some free advice in terms of the best way to at least try and get the ground back up to some sort of playable standard. It's not going to be pretty. But it's either a case of doing it that way or if we want to do it properly, not playing on the pitch again this season, which is not viable. There isn't the local teams realistically that we could ground share, and so we are having to take the plan B, if you like, just to make it playable, but it won't be pretty.
Yeah, and the support and condemnation of those who carried out the destruction on Twitter, that was quick from all non-league fans, and then you've had all this this help. You set up a fundraising page via GoFundMe.
Yes.
Did I see correctly that the target's already been reached on that?
Absolutely. I mean, we put a smallish target. We put what we thought would help us at least be able to get the pitch, as I say, into a state that it could be played on. But it's been absolutely smashed, which is fantastic. As I say, it's just unbelievable that the footballing community is prepared to help. Helping in this sort of situation.
Yeah, and you are a voluntary club, and everybody's doing stuff for free. So I'm guessing still that there's other costs to rectify other bits and pieces anyway. So can people still help and donate?
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose the more we make on it, the we're able to perhaps get the professionals in, if you like, to actually undertake the work. Work has been started again by we're fairly lucky with one of our sponsors a construction company, and they kindly lent us two or three of their lads who have come in and started shifting some of the turf that's been thrown around. But again, it would be fantastic to be able to get sort of the professionals in, if you like, the ground maintenance guys in, to come in and be able to get them to do it realistically.
So if people want to donate, they can just go to the GoFundMe website and just search for Winslow United.
Just search for Winslow United Football Club and make a donation. As I say, it will be gratefully received and. As I say, at the moment the response has just been absolutely fantastic, and I can't thank people enough really for helping us out.
Yeah, and the last time we had you on, it was the start of August. You were saying that the best part of being the chairman of a football club was getting your club into the FA Cup and playing in the FA Cup for the first time. Is this perhaps absolutely the worst part of being a chairman?
I think it's the most soul destroying when we've probably had more compliments this season on the state of the pitch and how good the pitch is compared to sort of previous years, and certainly it's probably the best the pitch has been or had been in all my time involved with the club, to sort of have that and be able to have to see that and be to actually see the face of your part-time groundsman who he's not paid. He does it for the love. To see him turn up on a Sunday morning and see it and just watch the colour drain from his face, it was soul destroying.
Mm. So let's get back to the football. Now I mentioned that FA Cup game two all in the first game against Easington Sports. Unfortunately, defeat in the replay. But was it an enjoyable experience nonetheless? Because we've not spoken since.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly the home game on the Friday evening. I think crowd-wise, I think it was, you know, we were nearly 400 up there, something like that. It was absolute, yeah, it was a fantastic evening. I mean, obviously the result didn't go our way, and you know, as I said, we were beaten by a better side in the replay.
And you mentioned back then that actually it was lovely to play in the FA Cup, but the big target, the big aim was promotion out of the Spartan League Division One. How are things going on that front?
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I think we lost our first two games of the season and then haven't been beaten since in the league. So I think we're fourth at the moment, but we are, you know, four or five games in hand on the tight side above us. So I think it's, you know, we're pushing. We stand a good a chance as the next team, really. Mm. So certainly, it's still the aim. The aim is still there to get out to get promotion this year.
So without a game playable Saturday, where does that leave you? You as a chairman, what will you be up to? But where does it leave the team if they're already a few games behind others in the division?
I mean, it's going to be difficult. I mean, obviously, it's another game that we've got to try and fit in between now and the end of the season, which will more than likely be a midweek game. Which is unfortunate, but we had the same situation last year. Come the end of the season, we were playing sort of three times a week, four times a week sometimes, and you know, we thought it would affect the players, but actually, you know, we ended the season last year, I think, on a 9-game unbeaten run. So hopefully the same will happen this year.
And yourself then on Saturday, you a weekend off, or are you going to be out doing pitch repairs?
No, we're over there. We'll be over there early Saturday morning, you know, to continue sort of trying to get the pitch repaired, we're still waiting for new nets to arrive and various other bits and pieces that were damaged that we need to have delivered to and be able to, you know, get the goals back up, etc.
But the way that everybody's rallied around you, that you haven't lost your enthusiasm for being a chairman of a football club.
No, not at all. I think it makes you more determined. You know, it makes you more determined to go out there and prove people wrong. You know, and prove that actually, you know, or you know, you may have caused us a bit of a headache over a couple of weeks, but you know, we'll come back. We're still going to be playing the same type of football. We're still going to be trying to push as hard as we can for promotion, and it's certainly not going to dampen, you know, not just my enthusiasm, but you know, the enthusiasm of all the supporters.
What hurts you makes you stronger, and hopefully, we'll speak to you again soon, but it's quite positive news. We've ended on a positive note anyway, but...
Absolutely. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, there are certainly probably, you know, plenty of people out in the world that are worse off than we are, and we just have to, you know, as I say, take the positives from it, and the positives are that the support from the footballing community has been... I think it just proves what grassroots football is all about. You know, we are one big family, and we all look to try and help each other if we can.
And the nice people always look after nice people. Thanks once again for your time and joining us on the Non-League Show, and we wish you well for the rest of the season.
No problems. No, thanks for your time.
So just time to head to Non-League Towers and catch up with editor Alex Neri for our weekly, even a weekly roundup of everything out of Non-League. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Good. It was a hectic FA Cup and FA Trophy weekend, but news-wise, it seems to have been a bit quieter again this week, but still very busy, though.
Yeah, it has actually been a bit quieter, but everything has kind of rolled down the hill from the weekend and the FA Cup, and of course the draw on Monday night threw up quite a few interesting ties, and there is still quite a lot of non-league interest in the FA Cup, following on from what last year was a bit of a damp squib and a bit of a disappointing year for non-league football. So yeah, it's looking good, and there's been some good ties, obviously. the likes of Stockport and Maidstone recording great wins at the weekend and getting good draws on Monday night. So it's been a bit busy week in that respect. But yeah, not too much on the news front, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and on those FA Cup, it's nice as well to see that a couple of the ties from the replays, Oxford City, Tranmere, Salford, Shrewsbury, have been given some TV coverage as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And hey, listen, it's the FA have increased the prize money for per round this year. Doubling in the early rounds. So you look at a club like Guiseley, who cooped, I think, £36,000 from Sunday's victory, knowing that they're now going to be on TV. They're looking at, I think there's a £75,000 windfall off the back of that. So, you know, this is huge money to clubs, particularly a club like Guiseley, who are coming off the back of a relegation and are really trying to clear the decks. But it's all about the second round, isn't it? The second round is that the clubs are just building towards that money pot of the third round and that dream tie that if they pull out one of the big guns, on an away trip, it really could set them up for seasons to come. So, yeah, it's been a big week, but like I say, the second round is the crucial round where everybody's now looking to those FA Cup ties in January.
Yeah, and talking of those second round games, the games that are on the TV as well with BT Sport there at Wrexham against Newport County.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's an 8 o'clock 8 o'clock kickoff.
It is, yeah.
Which is absolutely no good for us at all. so yeah, an all Welsh affair. That'll certainly be pretty fiery. Wrexham going so well, and they just look really comfortable in the National League at the moment. We keep talking about Salford, we keep talking about Leighton Orient, but we forget about Wrexham. They're so solid at the back. Sam Ricketts has done a fantastic job there. He's really got them ticking. He's got a side that really knows what they're doing and they're all working together. So, yeah, that'll be a fantastic game, the Wrexham game against Newport County. Like I say, a fiery old Welsh affair. It's just a shame that it's such an awkward time for us at a non-league paper. 8 o'clock kick-off on a Saturday night, so that'll be a difficult one for us.
I remember the Saturday night of the non-league shows when the National League decided that they kick off at 5 o'clock. That was... It made sense to everybody apart from me, and it's been nice that looking at the draw on Monday night for the second round. It was nice to see the BBC focusing on those non-league clubs. There are lots of managers there that given coverage, and hopefully on the back of that, we've got this international weekend that maybe we'll get some people drifting along to watch their non-league clubs and seeing what it's all about.
Yeah, well, I really like what the BBC do actually with the draw. And in the first and second rounds, because I think now that, I think back to kind of 20 years ago, I don't want to say 30 years, but 20 years ago, and I used to, everybody looked forward to the third round draw of the FA Cup. That was the big kind of the big round draw, and it still is really. But I think the USP of the FA Cup is shifting to the earlier rounds a little bit more now. The first round and the second round, they're so important. And it's so important for clubs and for their growth and for the income that they can bring in. So, a fantastic job again by the BBC on Monday night. And it really does put the non-league football in the spotlight for the right reasons. And as you say, international fixture weekend where hopefully a few more people will be encouraged to get out to their local grounds and support a good cause.
Yeah, and we also had the FA Trophy draw this week, and I'm sure we'll speak about that more next week, we're ahead of those games, but plenty of debate in non-league about the number of games it being played and the coverage, the money. And you look now, I've been looking at the clubs that have maybe got some TV coverage, and I'm looking at some of the message boards. Salford have got one of these replays, so that's immediately, I think, £50,000, £75,000 in tickets. And we've also, with that doubling the prize money, we've got to look again to make sure that this money's being distributed evenly across non-league, because we don't want to create our own gaps that they've got at the higher levels.
Yeah, well, we're talking about money on this week when, unfortunately, a certain Richard Scudamore was going to be landing a £5 million bonus in his back pocket.
You mean you didn't get the press release about the Scudamore Trust Fund that's been set up in Harvard non-league yet?
No, I must have missed that one. No, I can't believe I've missed that one. But we'll run that in the paper on Sunday, that's for sure. But, you know, yeah, you're right. The money's got to be distributed. I do feel that with these, like I say, the FA prize money has been increased and it needed to be increased because at the bottom, in the early qualifying rounds, there wasn't any justification for how small it was. And the FA have addressed that. But it's important that the money from the TV games is distributed properly. And I'd like to see, clubs, all clubs who are kind of, who earn the right through their victories to get their name in the spotlight. And that's why I was really pleased, actually, for Guiseley. I know that you've spoken to Marcus Bignall already, but I spoke to him too today. And he's gone in there and he's done a really good job. He took over in the summer with Russell and Neil. And they've had a difficult job, really, because, like I say, they came down from the National League. They've had a big... all the debts to clear, and I think they had 44 players when he went in there. So this injection of cash will really help guys and really help them build for the rest of the season. And it's just you cannot downplay how important this money is for these clubs. We're talking, like I say, £75,000 they'll land from the TV rights for the second round games, and that just makes such a huge amount of difference. Forget your £5 million. For Richard Scudamore, it's all about the £75,000 that clubs will be getting from their second round exposure.
And obviously a quieter week with not so many big high profile fixtures for you to worry about, and certainly not so many Sunday and Monday fixtures for you to worry about. What else can we expect to read about in this weekend's non-league paper?
Well, we've had a chat with Dave Challoner at AFC Files. Files are a team who They kind of go under the radar a little bit in the National League. They kind of wipe the floor with quite a few teams, and then they lose a couple of games. But then they seem to be a side that kind of just trots along. They've obviously got Danny Rowe up front who's banging in the goals. I think they're in fifth or sixth place, and they've just been there all season. They're just ticking along. We spoke to Dave Chandler, and he kind of spoke about the importance that Danny Rowe, that brings to the team, obviously his goals and the importance of keeping hold of him in January. So that's a really interesting piece that we've done. We've also spoken to Jim Gannon following Stockport's brilliant win at Yeovil. I've got to say, actually, that was a result that didn't surprise me at all. I was looking at I'm not a betting man myself, but I was looking at the odds before last weekend, and I looked at that game, and Stockport was priced as long as 7-1. To go to Yeovil and win. And like I said, I'm not a betting man, so I didn't bet on it. But I just had a really good feeling that they would go there. They blow hot and cold a bit in National North, Stockport, but on their day, that they've got the muscle to get past sides. And I really did fancy them to go and do a job on the Glovers. So we've got a great piece with Jim Gannon. He speaks very, very well about Stockport's FA Cup win and building on that for the rest of the season. And it's just... like I say, it's been a little bit of a slow week news-wise, but we've also spoken to Phil Parkinson on Altrincham's FA Trophy draw against Bradford Park Avenue, who I believe they've already beaten twice this season, so they'll be looking to do a travel on them. But, we'll be looking for a few more stories to break tomorrow on Friday, but it's another 56-pager on Sunday, so please get out there and support the paper.
Yeah, and just before I let you go, one thing I wanted to talk about was Hereford, situation at Hereford. We obviously spoke to Peter Beadle just after he left Hereford, and I think he was as surprised as everybody else in the footballing world, and hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it's not quite gone the way that maybe the Hereford board had hoped.
No, it's not quite gone the way at all. I think that they've taken something like 4 points from the last 38 or 40. Now, I don't know the exact number because I was looking at it today, but something like that, that's a horror run of form. And I mean, that's relegation form. And they're slipping all the way down, and they just don't seem to have an answer. I believe on Tuesday night they had a crowd of just over 1,500, which was one of their lowest crowds since they reformed and went back into Step 5 3 years ago. So these are really, really tough times. And it emphasises the point of clubs need to be very, very careful when they're making these decisions on sacking managers. They need to realise that a club like Hereford has no divine right to just walk through the pyramid. Yes, they've got aspirations to reach the Football League. And yes, I'm sure that those aspirations can and will be met at some stage. But three promotions on the spin, they had Peter Beadle there, a guy who knows the pyramid inside out, who's doing a wonderful job, and you've got to be patient. And there is a call for clubs to consolidate for a season, and I believe that that's what Hereford should have been doing. And the irony of all this is that the people who really got on Beadle's back, the people who the board started to listen to back in September or early October when they sacked him, were the fans, because the fans were unhappy with the style of football. The fans were unhappy that they weren't instantly getting results and they weren't punching away at the top of the table, the likes of Chorley and Brackley and Chester and those sides. Well, now those fans are voting on their feet and they're not attending games because they just can't buy a win. They can't buy a point. So this is it's a really, really tough time for Hereford, and I do fear for them because they're a rudderless ship at the moment. They've got no answers to this, and I cannot stress how annoyed I was when they got rid of Peter Beadle, and I believe the way they got rid of him it was pretty poor as well. I think it involved, I think he was sacked on the phone, and that's no way to treat people, and you expect better of a club like Hereford. You don't want to see any club struggle, but there's a message being sent out here to all these clubs with aspirations to climb the table. It's all about patience, and I just think some clubs have got to get, their ambitions have got to be realistic. They've got to slow it down and just realise that the man they have in the hot seat is the right man. He's brought them three promotions, as Beadle had done, and they've just got to stick with these guys. They've got to be patient, and they've got to not be put under pressure by fans, because eventually, when the results really dry up, the fans won't turn up, and that's what's happening at Hereford now.
Yeah, and we've spoken about the strength of National League North already. Yeah, we've spoken to two managers in this programme, but we've spoken almost every week about the strength in that division. And you see, they're down there in the relegation spots at the moment. Nuneaton, well, maybe they might have a turnaround with changes going on behind the scenes. Southport down there, they're not going to be down there forever. You've got FC United down there as well. So it's not going to be easy, even if they can, stop the rot and start moving up. You can quite easily become detached just as we're heading into Christmas.
Well, once you're down there, you're down there. When you're in mid-table or you're chasing the playoffs, you win a couple of games, you lose a couple of games, you don't lose touch. You can then go on and win three games and lose one, but I always feel that when you're down there, when you're in the relegation mire, yes, you might win a game, you might win two games. There's a terrible cliche where people say, stick two wins on there or two wins makes all the difference. Well, it doesn't really, because you have to just keep on accumulating points. There are so many games, they come thick and fast. You have to keep on winning games and taking points. And it's going to take a monumental effort to get Hereford back up that table and to keep the fans interested. That's what we're talking about here. Edgar Street has always been a fortress because of the numbers they bring in through the gates. And I just feel that if those fans aren't there, the club's almost losing one of its unique selling points, which is its fan support, and that's the 12th man that gets them over the line quite often. So, once you're down there, it's tough. It's very, very difficult to claw your way back up the ladder. And I've always said, Tim, and I've probably said it a few times on this show, and probably overused the phrase a bit, but pound for pound, I really do think that National North is the toughest division in the non-league pyramid. It's so, so strong. Clubs like York are struggling. Chester, who are now finding their feet. The top end of the table strong. The middle strong. The bottom strong. You've got Darlington there who can't get out of it. So, really, really tough season ahead, I think, for Hereford. But I'm afraid it's a lot of it's down to their own doing, I'm afraid. I just cannot understand the sacking of Peter Beadle. It's one of the most bizarre and stupid decisions that's been made this season. It really is.
It'll be interesting come the end of the season. You know, still plenty of time left, but when we spoke to Peter at the end of last season, and he obviously come up from the Southern League and then got moved into the National North, which then, you know, changed the selection of players that were open to him and who he could bring in. They could have a similar problem if they were to get relegated this season. When you look at the other clubs that are much more northerly than they are, that could get relegated, and they could find themselves dropping down to that next level and having to, you know, change their whole squad again.
Yeah, listen, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because the positioning of a club, the geography of a club, where they go, what league they go into, it's always going to cause conjecture. And Hereford probably maybe could have gone into the National South, but they ended up in National North. Peter had to, like I say, had to kind of restructure the squad a little bit accordingly. Some guys just couldn't do the travelling. But, all that said, he was the right man for the job, and this is non-league football. This is what happens. Clubs get put into leagues after leagues are restructured, and it doesn't always fit with the club's remit and how they want to go about keeping hold of players. And that's what clubs have to do at this level. But it's tough. I still think a lot of clubs are actually still recovering from the restructure in the summer. The initial fallout from that, and you look at a club like Fleet, who are now in Southern. I think they've been moved to Southern West in the SPL, and they're having to travel all over the place, and they haven't won a game yet, and they were clinging on as they were last season. So, the restructure has affected a lot of clubs, but like I say, it's the way it is in non-league football. It's tough.
It is tough. And what would we have to talk about every week if we didn't have stories like that and that keep us occupied and keep our minds ticking along? Alex, it's been fantastic talking to you as ever. We look forward to reading the non-league paper on Sunday and speak to you soon.
Cheers, then.
Well, that's it for this week, and a big thank you to all of our guests. A big thank you to everybody for listening. And don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Tell your friends they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. We'll be back next week. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.